Off the Ball, GAA.
So every environment that you're in around, you're hoping to learn from, and meeting so many people and seeing how people do things differently. And that builds, I suppose, knowledge, and you hope that with that knowledge, then you get kind of belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Like the county from which he hails, this man's colours are black and white, but there's still room for nuance in his views. It's Sligo OD.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You get that?
Yeah, no, I thought we were going.
Now, incidentally, the most common surnames in Sligo, I never looked at this before, are, now, can you identify some that you know from each of these surnames? Kelly.
Yeah.
Healy.
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 Yeah.
Hart, as in Joe.
Yeah.
McGowan, as in Shane.
Yeah, loads.
O'Hara, as in Jamie.
Yep.
Scanlan, and also
yeah.
Scanlan.
Massive, yeah.
And Henry.
Yeah.
Well, that checks out.
All big Markoviches.
All big
Constance, he died for our country.
Constantine.
All good. Yeah, no, all recognisable.
Very good. You've heard the voice, and then you see him in person here. So the Monaghan man, the Monaghan myth, the Monaghan legend himself, who is a top five man. Now, what do I mean by that?
Not sure.
According to visual.cso.ie, just to clarify, you were born in the year 1993, yes?
1993, yes.
Well, in 1993, the name Shane was ranked fifth in boys' names in Ireland.
Wow. A lot of Shanes in my class in school, so that adds up.
In total,
Connor, I'd say, was up there as well. A lot of Connors.
687 baby boys were recorded with the name Shane in 1993.
Jeez, I would have thought it'd be more.
In Ireland.
Yeah, in the whole country. Maybe that's about right, yeah.
And
to a county.
Quite handily, CSO have done a graphic on this, and the name Shane peaked in Ireland in 1997.
1997.
And then in the new millennium, it has slowly, then gradually, then very rapidly decreased.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dying breed.
To the point in 2024, there were fewer than 100 Shanes born that year.
It'll come back again. It always
does. Give me a favour. The next time, I'm interested in you.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the other four names were from 93.
I had that.
You have it?
I had it last night.
I like to see if
Connor's definitely top five.
I was doing this research last night. I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I've actually brought myself down this hole that I have to do this now. Yeah. Look on the bed earlier, you know
Connor
what I mean?
Connor and James.
Now, you have a load of things that you want to get off your chest because, Shane, it's been a while since you and I...
It's true. It's been 5 weeks, I think.
Chatted together, yeah.
Sat here sick last week.
Do you want to go through the list of things you'd like to talk about while I find this out?
Well, a couple of the things I've just written down. Big men, firm handshakes, volleys, and Champions League, but relegated. And for context on all of those four particular things, we were chatting before the show about big... so, a sports...
<It's> a well-timed
we're chatting
show.
About big men. For context on this one, so who is, and you brought this up, Colm, a sports person, male or female, that you met in person or saw in person and thought, Jesus, they're bigger than I thought they were, or Jesus, they're smaller than I thought they were, much smaller. Because people, as you mentioned, have discussed Roy Keane as maybe someone you have this aura and idea of him, and he's maybe not as big, actually quite small in person. And then others, you meet them and you're like, because we mentioned names before the show, like Kieran Donaghy and Mike Quirk and Alan Quinlan, who are obviously big men. So
known big men.
Yeah, you can't say when you met them, oh, geez, they're way bigger than I... You kind of can't. Oh, they're very big, but you knew they were going to be big. But who's someone you met and you're like, they've exceeded or underdone my expectations? So that was one of the things. We can come back to these if you want. Firm handshakes. Who's a sports person you met who has an unbelievably firm handshake? David Brady comes in here quite regularly, and I love David. He will literally break your hand. Keith Wood, I think, is famously another very strong handshake. Conor McManus came in as well.
Yeah.
Very strong handshake. There have been a couple of weak handshakes that we've met. I won't mention the weak handshakes, but I'm sure people watching have decent examples of that. Champions League, we asked this, would you rather, Would you be okay with, because we have a Spurs fan, Eve, on our team, and you asked her, would you accept, as a Spurs fan, winning the Champions League, because they're doing really well in the Champions League this season, would you accept them winning the Champions League but getting relegated from the league? They're not going to be relegated this season. It's a hypothetical, because they finished 17th last year and won the Europa League. So would generally you, as a football fan, accept your team?
She was game ball.
She was game ball. She said, absolutely, as a Spurs fan, would take winning the Champions League and being relegated.
She's right.
Do you think she's right?
She's right, yeah. The only team that's done that, I think...
Great. I just say, incredibly, people are coming right back in with responses.
Straight away.
Not to the Champions League one, but to the big men's sliding strong man, handshake.
Yeah. Okay.
People love it.
We'll see what we'll see what sticks.
You know, Harchester United did it as a dream team.
So I think they the played
no, they wanted, but they played in the Champions League while playing in the Championship.
Right, okay. So
yeah, it was a quirk. But Spurs, I could see Spurs would fit that bill.
But are Spurs the only team who would accept? So Liverpool winning the Champions League, getting relegated, they would not accept that. No. Manchester City wouldn't accept that. Arsenal wouldn't accept it. Chelsea, Manchester United fans wouldn't accept it. Any self-respecting football club doesn't. Even you might say Everton probably accepts winning the Champions League but getting relegated in the knowledge that maybe, look, we're going to come up next season, we're going to be favourites to come up from the Championship, bask in the glow of winning the Champions League. It's an unlikely scenario. This is never going to happen, folks, potentially, but it's an interesting point worth bringing up, I think. The other one I had was it's an old fan favourite was, of course, the volleys or half volleys. This came up between Michael Richards, Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer recently. The Steven Gerrard goal where the ball bounces.
Why were they talking about that?
Apparently they had an argument a long time ago and came up again somehow. Must have been a goal last weekend or something that kind of brought it back into consciousness.
The clip is of Gerrard.
The clip is of Gerrard. The ball bounces and a long time after bounces. On its way back down, he volleys it. Not half volleys, he volleys it into the goal. You mentioned Jamie Vardy goal against Liverpool a number of years ago, 30-yard wonder strike. Sky Sports, on their YouTube title, have put it as Jamie Vardy's wonder volley. You both think it was a half volley because it bounced an eon before it was hit. I think a half volley is only when it's boom. It literally, the bounce, it's literally as the ball has bounced, just after the ball has bounced.
Can you give me an example of a half volley?
What's a really famous half volley?
Was the Gerrard one in the FA Cup final in 06? That bounces up, doesn't it?
Yeah, just bounces.
Yeah, so you're not calling that a half volley.
Yes, that's a half volley.
I wouldn't even call that a half volley.
No,
that was a shot.
It's a shot, yeah.
That was a shot.
That's absolute peak definition.
That was a shot. No.
Sorry, for people watching, and you might think this is rage bait, but this is a conversation.
No, I never do that.
This is a conversation we infamously had maybe 2-3. It could be 5 years ago, I don't know.
Definitely wasn't five years ago.
People got fairly incensed on both sides. In that clip, the Steven Gerrard one, the two strikers in the room who know a half volley, and Michael Richards doesn't know what a half volley looks like, Alan Shearer and Gary Lineker both said that was a volley from Gerrard. In the comments, Jermaine Defoe pipes in, Mike is wrong, that was a volley. You two are saying...
Can I ask a question, right?
Yeah.
And is can. Thinking of it, right. So if we take any volley you want, we'll take the one that comes to mind, the Rooney Newcastle one, right? Where it bounces over the thing.
Which is a clear volley,
Clear volley.
By both of our definitions, yeah.
Yeah. It feels unjust. Gerrard one's great goal. But it feels unjust that you'd say, oh, they're the same category. That's the same thing. Where one is far more, I would say the half volley in terms of the bounce hit, right? Obviously, you're not going down that route of like, oh, I could do that. But you could do like if we're to put it into a five-a-side thing, obviously the ball shouldn't be going that high in five-a-side, but in a five-a-side scenario, you'd back yourself, you could catch a half volley, you could go right.
Sorry, who's half volley? The half volley goes
bounce. The bounce. You could catch the Gerrard one. The Gerrard one you could theoretically see yourself doing, right? Not saying the same level, nothing, don't get me wrong, don't get me mixed up. I'm just saying as a basic thing, you could see that happening.
Mm.
I think you'd have a far harder time doing the Rooney kind of one and getting that right.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you that one is a slightly harder than...
Why would you call them the same thing?
But you can still call them the same, you know, I think you can still call them the same thing. A pass is a pass, whether it's 40 yards over the defence or a 2 yard pass, but one is definitely a harder pass than the other.
Fair.
But I think I know you
throw in a few adjectives for the other one.
You could.
So are you saying the Gerrard one is an inferior volley? or a low quality volley?
No, definitely not a low quality volley. Because the ball is, so the ball has bounced, but then it's on the way back down by the time he hits it. It's not like, it's, and a half volley is a difficult skill as well, obviously, to catch it just like that. Did Thiago have a brilliant half volley? The one that kind of just looped it on the ground. Maybe it wasn't a half volley. I think it was.
I think I know the one you mean, yeah.
Yeah, where it barely touches the ground, the grass. Like, I can't fathom how a human mind, a footballing mind, can look at what Gerrard did and call that a half volley, where it bounces and then is hit ages later. Like, a half volley is literally the only half volley.
So you have a time limit on a half volley.
It's not even a time limit, it's a physics. It's physics. It's like when the ball has just hit the turf and is struck milliseconds after it has hit the turf.
So why is that a half volley? What's the difference?
Why is it a half volley?
Yeah, why is that a half volley? What makes it a half volley? What makes it less than a volley?
The only thing that makes it a volley is the fact that it has hit the ground, but it has just hit the ground. So you kind of you can't call it a volley because it's a half volley. It's like it's just hit the ground.
Yeah, but then the Scholes one, say the Bradford comes to mind. Man United goals. Yeah, but that's... I know what you mean in terms of... But that's hit quite low. It's not a high...
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the point with the half volley, just because it's low to the ground, you're saying.
No, not even low to the ground. It's literally... Boom, boom, it's in the motion of having hit the ground. So
I'd say that goal is harder than the Gerrard goal.
It probably is, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're calling it half. Significantly,
but sorry,
less than.
I don't mean half in. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean half in quantity or
okay,
deserving.
So there's no worth.
Praise.
Okay.
It's more so just, you know.
Okay.
Physics of it. Half. It's you know, half moon is still a full moon. The moon is still there, but it's a but it's a half moon to what we can see with
it's
our
just
eyes.
Slightly obscured. Yeah. That's great.
So every half valley is a valley. We just can't see the whole valley. Well, Dermot Keenan has provided additional context here. So it was The Rest Is Football, the podcast with Micah and Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer. And they are doing a weekly special on Premier League players, and this one was Stephen Gerrard. So they're just going through his goals.
Okay,
and I guess they stopped there and took a massive digression, which we have done in the comments this morning, because the half volley debate 2.0 has been launched.
It's back.
Matt Holland against Cameroon half volley.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the context.
Sean Smith's pints.
Well, that's right in your wheelhouse of...
Yeah, it's like the Gerrard one that we're debating here.
Yeah, 2002 World Cup.
Yeah, I know the goal, but I just want to make sure I have exactly the context in how it drops.
Yeah. Ireland went 1-0 down. This is the equaliser in the second half.
Yeah. Okay, I have it here.
And...
Ball bounces up. Yeah, that is... a volley from
That's not a volley. No, that's half volley all day long. Half volley.
It's a volley. Yeah, it's a certain volley because it bounces up and there's enough.
There's lots of people. Bobby Dwyer says a half volley has to be on the first bounce, like a drop goal in rugby.
So that is exactly what I mean. Like Johnny Wilkinson's drop kick in 03. So it's the only half volley in football is a drop kick in rugby.
I see that. And then Bosan David says it can only bounce once. Okay? Now, by that measure, it can only bounce once.
I don't know about that.
That would have Jamie Vardy and his volley against Liverpool for Leicester. That would be a half volley. So that bounces and then he hits it. Half volley.
No, volley.
Paolo Di Canio, his famous goal for West Ham. Remember that one? The scissor volley?
Scissor volley,
into the far corner?
Yes.
Against Wimbledon, Neil Sullivan's goal? What's that?
Neil Sullivan's goal. That'll be the giveaway.
Neil Sullivan used to concede amazing goals. That was his thing.
That'll be the giveaway.
That was his USB.
Oh, Neil Sullivan was in goal. Yeah.
Well, that was the cross that he hits immediately, yeah? Or does it bounce before it comes?
Cross comes in.
And he hits it immediately.
Yeah.
Well, then that's a volley, yeah.
And do you know why it's a volley? Doesn't hit the ground.
No, that's not why it's a volley.
It's a volley. That's a volley.
No, that's
a volley.
We disagree on the definition.
A volley.
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
Can it be a volley if your feet aren't on the ground?
Can it be a volley if your feet aren't on the ground? Yeah, because Gareth Bale, Champions League, almost a volley. Is that the one I'm thinking of? The scissor kick?
Yeah.
He jumps in the air. His feet are off.
Gareth Bale against in the Champions League.
So he jumps in the air and hits it.
Oh, that's a different category, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's scissor
that's,
kick.
That's spicy scissor, scissor kick. That's top shelf stuff.
It could technically be something if you
that's expensive. Expensive stuff.
Yeah.
The Gerrard goal for me was a half volley, says DK. And then Van Shitty Shea comes in. The ball hasn't touched the ground. A half volley, the ball just touches the ground, then it's connected with.
Yeah.
Any more than that is a shot. That's it. Good night, God bless.
I think I agree with that
part. I think we all mildly are agreeing with each other. Chris Fox here, for me this is very cut and dry. Cantona's FA Cup final winning goal in 1996, is it a volley or a half volley?
Which goal again?
Cantona, your boy.
Yeah.
96, Wembley against Liverpool.
Through the bodies.
Yeah.
That's a volley, yeah. Yeah. See, you think that's a half volley.
Does it bounce?
The ball is bounced, comes up and he hits it. Yeah. It's just like the half volley. The Vardy one.
Yeah, that's half volley.
No, it's a volley.
Bounces and he hits it.
Cantona was a volley and bounces, Vardy was a volley.
And he hits it.
Read out some of the comments. Shane is 1,000,000% correct, says Kaiser Horse Chief. We'll just read out that comment.
Nice editorialising.
Yeah, yeah. But I think most of the people in the comments get it and understand football. but there are some people still,
no ball,
like yourselves, who are living in the, I don't know, the slow ages. Robbo says Shane is waffling here. I don't understand how you think I'm waffling. Like the, you are incorrect.
You're leave incorrect. It, mate.
You obviously disagree with me, but you're incorrect.
The most popular boy names in 1993.
Yes.
In fifth place, Shane. In fourth place, Michael.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep. Third, these are very uninspiring.
Connor and James.
As new names. James.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, John.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number one most popular name for boy in 1993 was.
Connor.
Do we have one working with us? We do.
On off the ball.
Do we have
Matthew?
No. Do we have this name in the comments this morning?
Dara.
Let me see. There is a name. Someone in our comments who's a regular has this name. He's there. There is someone with the most popular name in 1993 in our YouTube comments.
Stephen.
This morning. No.
Wouldn't be
Stephen. In 1993.
Sean.
And this person has very much involved
Sean
themselves.
Sean's not the Irish for Shane.
It's not Sean.
I thought it was John.
Sean.
It's the volley
John as well.
And full volley debate, half volley. This person has got involved with. It's a good few comments back up.
Patrick.
Not Patrick, no. So we're looking for the most popular everyone's throwing out names.
We do have stuff to talk about.
We do. Yeah.
This seems very...
It's got correct. It's been identified.
David
Holton, congratulations. You are representative of the most popular name for a boy in 1983 was David. Just to finish on this, I looked at the girl's equivalent. You're the fifth most popular in Shane.
Yep.
Do you know what the fifth most popular girl name in 1983 was? This is nice.
Aoife.
Yeah.
There you go.
You just got engaged.
What's the word? Synchronicity.
Wow. All right. Sport. Let's get going.
Wow.
So the Europa League last night, Celtic had a final game, didn't they? Or is it a thrown away of 2 points? The way it was delivered to Martin O'Neill and Austin Trusty afterwards, this is a good point gained in Europe. Celtic are on the cusp where this gets exciting in Europe, where they're in the final position to qualify, 24th. Now that's when you can get your teeth sucked into this thing. They were 2-0 up away to Bologna. Rio Hatate got sent off a stupid second yellow. And they were actually 1-0 up.
Stupid yellows,
actually. Yeah, yeah. And then they went two up after that with 10 minutes. Ended up 2-2. Kasper Schmeichel was great for both those goals. I was looking... I was like, Jesus, Kasper's seen better days. Like,
it's like the Jabalani ball or something.
He did save him from losing the game at the end.
Yeah.
Braga beat Nottingham Forest 1-0. Another red card in that game was right at the end, Elliot Anderson. Forest missed the penalty, right? Morgan Gibbs White. And then within a minute, Ryan Yates scored a comical own goal. And he took it very well in the post-match interview. I have to say it to him.
I think there was something with Forest. I don't know if it's this season, but it might be the second time they've lost a game without the other team having a shot on target.
Jesus.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Turkey, Fenerbahce nil, Aston Villa 1. A Jadon Sancho header.
Good header.
Do you have one now?
Yeah.
Jean Duran played for Fenerbahce in this game. Wasn't that impressive?
No.
And so did Asensio, another former Villa boy. The big thing from this, Yuri Tiedemans and Unai Emery had a touchline spat afterwards. And Emery afterwards
tiff.
Said, he's spat. My spat. Fallout. What is spat bigger than a tiff?
Spat's worse than it's.
I think it was tiff because I think tiff it will be killed. Tiny,
yeah.
I think tiff it'll be killed.
Yeah, yeah.
From here.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he said he's my son when he was asked about it.
Wow.
Emery, which I think is affectionate, really, isn't it? Love hate.
What's above a spat then? If it goes tiff spat,
falling out.
Falling out.
Falling out.
They had a falling out.
Dramatic.
They had a falling out.
Consequential.
Good one. It's a good question. We wanted to get Daniela Fisica on the show this morning again because Roma played last night against Stuttgart. They won 2-0 and Big Ev played. He didn't just play, Shane. Didn't get taken off either.
Mm.
Played the whole game and he set up, or was part of the assist team for the second goal in injury time. And the big question is whether he's going to go or stay. It looked like he was going to go earlier this week.
Yeah.
Was reading reports, Evan Ferguson. But I don't know if he's very, very gradually and slowly making himself important in this Roma side, not just the bonus.
As it's green tinted glasses. Daniela usually brings us back to life a little bit with Evan.
Jeez, he did, didn't he, that time?
Yeah. Bloody hell. We're always a bit he got an assist in that game. Yeah. And he's like, well, hold on. The manager still hates him. I don't know. We do get a bit excited with Evan, particularly, and rightly so, but I think he's going to need to do a little bit more to be wanted by Roma long term. Maybe that's harsh. Look, I'm not watching Evan 90 minutes week in, week out at the moment. Certainly you look to see how many goals and assists is he getting, and he'd like to be getting more himself, but look, he's getting involved, he's doing a bit of work. Serie A is that kind of league that you look at, like someone like Rasmus Højlund, who just excels, and you thought Evan going over, you're thinking he's going to excel in that league as well, you know, bag himself a right few goals, but
yeah,
and maybe it will happen, but it takes time to bed into a new league, I suppose, as well.
Too right. Happy birthday, Carlinho, by the way.
Wishes.
Could I bring an update on surprising big men and strong handshakes?
Yeah.
Oh, please, yeah.
Alan says, Brian Cody, strong handshake.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Does he think that or does he know that?
I'd say Joe Canning is as well. I'd say that handshake was like tectonic plates moved when they shook hands, essentially.
Mark on YouTube says, Rory Best, always thought he came across as an average height and build on TV. I mean, I don't know about that. But seeing him in person once, how wrong I was.
Yeah, maybe because he's beside big men.
Throws things out of proportion.
So he looks smaller, but he's not then when you meet him. Yeah, that's a good one.
Colm says, Alan Farrell, I don't know if you mean, anyway, has a handshake that demands respect.
Yeah, okay.
And finally, Quirky just has Jerry Flannery, shoulders and biceps.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he's,
yeah, another strong man.
Keep sending them in.
Yeah, please.
Who surprised you with their physical size or their strong handshake?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll keep reading them out.
We will.
We'll play that clock down. The Australian Open, the heat has got to them. They've had to change the schedule. I can vouch for that. I was there. It's frightful.
Yeah.
It's 38 degrees today.
Summer as well, over there.
Birthday boy Carlini will often tell us how hot it is in the Philippines in contrast to what we're putting up with here, which is shocking weather. And it's hard to believe we're on the same planet as a place like this in Australia where it's approaching 40 degrees when I have to change the schedule because it's so damn hot out there.
Naomi Osaka.
Did you like that, did you? I thought you meant her outfit that she came onto the court with.
That was particularly what the hell has it become, but also fair play to her. There was a little bit of that when I saw it, but I was also like, the Australian Open has become a little bit, you know, there's not that it's become a fashion show, but players are allowed to show off their personality a little bit more. Mm. But the Kirstea incident where she's like, Osaka says come on fairly loudly after a point, and Kirstea thinks it's a bit over the top and it's trying to put her off. Or maybe just before her serve, the umpire basically says to her, Osaka has every right to do that. You weren't about to serve. And then afterwards, Osaka has changed personality so much. She's grown so much as a person. And now she comes out and she's like, I don't know what her problem was, essentially. Mix her words, but she was essentially like, I don't know what her issue was. And the crowd really got involved. It was like a pantomime. But yeah, I kind of liked it from Osaka, the little bit of bite that she shows now.
Yeah, she does have that. She's won the Australian Open twice. She's four Grand Slams in total and they're all hard courts. Mm. So this is her surface, but she went on maternity leave, of course, came back, new perspective and all that. Stefanos Tsitsipas got eliminated yesterday. I don't know if that's a surprise anymore, but they're your kind of big names that are gone. So it continues without real incident. Novak Djokovic's opponent that he beat thanked him at the net for a lesson in tennis. Quite sycophantic when you get to
during the game
after the match.
After the match.
Customary handshake afterwards. So thank you for that lesson.
During the game.
I just want to break in and say that you're class. I'll take my seat and I'll see on the other side.
So he said, thank you for the lesson.
Yeah, he did. Now Casemiro had an option for an extension. It's not been exercised. He's leaving. Dermot Keenan put in the question there about the worst signing post Ferguson. I thought he doesn't fall into that category for sure.
He doesn't.
No, he has he's had a career of two halves. Casemiro for United.
Yeah, I think United fans will look back on his time with reasonable fondness. I think he's one of the best signings, and people will say the bar isn't that high, but he's one of the best signings they've had in the last 4 or 5 years. Again, which doesn't say much, but man of the match in that Carabao Cup final. He's won an FA Cup as well. If he pushes on and helps them, you know, get back to the Champions League before he finishes up this season, that will certainly add to the...
Yeah.
Like, he's been probably one of United's best players of the last 12 months.
Subtly,
he's kind of had that... He has those 7, 8 out of 10 performances more regularly than others.
It's hard when you're playing well individually for a club that's underperforming. You don't really get the credit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a midfielder who's not scoring or assisting regularly. Yeah. And he'll still pop up with the odd one here and there.
Look, he's been keeping Kabimenu out of teams, potentially. He's been keeping Manu Ugarte out of teams, although that maybe isn't that difficult. But he's shown, like, and I think fans like that kind of, you know, the Licha Martinez vibe of someone who clearly gives it their all and maybe gets involved in celebrations a bit. You know, Casemiro does that a lot. You saw him jumping on Carrick last weekend for the derby. He clearly cares. His family have really bought into the whole Manchester thing. He's tried his best to learn English over the last number of years as well. He scored some screamers for the club, big enough goals for the club as well. And as I said, had man of the match performances along the way as well. Like, he's really, really good player, and someone who didn't always hit the heights at Old Trafford, but hit enough of them to say, you know, he would be welcome back.
He had, would you say, an aura joining Manchester United from Real Madrid after.
Remember, he shook hands with Roy Keane on the sideline.
They hugged, I think. Did they embrace? Yeah, they just hugged. A shake. I wonder who was the firmer handshake. They embraced. Does he have an aura leaving Manchester United?
I think he does. I think Casemiro is a fan favourite. Like, I was at Old Trafford recently for the Bournemouth draw, and like, Casemiro gets one of the best receptions. You know, they're reading out the player names beforehand, and when he goes off, he gets such a good reception if he's played reasonably well. I think fans really like him.
So Mark Critchley's asked the question on The Athletic: was Casemiro worth the estimated £119 million?
That's just a straightaway no.
He's passed Man United over 4 seasons. So it's £60 million transfer, and his salary was £350,000 a week. He's about 30. But I remember he signed after those first two games under Ten Hag when it was disastrous. Yeah. He lost to Brighton and Brentford. And like you say, he comes in, hugs Roy Keane. That's the Liverpool game at Old Trafford, the Jadon Sancho game. And so from there, he's excellent. The first 6 months particularly, culminating in the League Cup win against Newcastle. There's a piece in the Times that week about him, and it's put out there that maybe Casemiro is the best signing for United since Eric Cantona. And it's not...
Yeah, most transformative.
Most transformative, not the best. Most transformative. But anyway, the idea of it is not laughed at. It's not necessarily scoffed at. Give it a year, Jamie Carragher saying, leave the football before the football leaves you, when he's talking about Casemiro against Crystal Palace.
It is funny in hindsight, that was wrong.
Yeah.
He was wrong. He looked like he was going to be very right. And then, in fairness to Casemiro, because he's left out of the team a bit then.
Yeah.
End of Ten Hag into Amorim.
Yeah.
And wins his place back. Yeah. It's fair to have the motivation to win his place back. He could have easily at any point in time, I know he's been paid very handsomely, so it's easy to stay, but he could have said, screw this, like, I'm not hanging around at this rabble. I was at Real Madrid winning all around me, I'm not doing this, they're not playing me. But he didn't. He said
they probably would have kept
him, and he's contracted them.
Yeah, like, they made this decision a while ago, it seems, but they probably would have kept him if he took a drastic pay cut. But Casemiro doesn't have to take a drastic pay cut at this stage of his career. Like, I don't know where he goes next, but whether he does the whole Saudi stuff or the America stuff, gets his massive payday, he probably will, and fair enough. Can't see him being picked up by another top tier European.
Does he leave the club as a legend?
No.
No.
Does he leave the club
fan favourite,
a cult hero?
He's too big to be a cult hero.
He was too consistently good to be a cult hero.
Was Zlatan a cult hero?
No, Zlatan was just very good with the time he had.
Yeah.
Henrik Larsson was maybe a cult hero for
the few
months.
I think that's very good for what he did. Is a cult hero naturally, organically, in some way flawed?
It has to be, like, not necessarily obvious. It has to be somewhat not necessarily obvious to outsiders why he'd be so like.
Panchelskis, cult hero.
No.
He's
just good.
Too good, right? And you're looking for a level below that.
Divock Origi for Liverpool. It's a lot of Liverpool fans would say cult hero.
Yeah, Dirk Kuyt. Yeah,
it's like
I think he was too consistent. Dirk Kuyt.
Park
Sung cult hero.
Which, like, obviously had amazing turnover. We were talking about it earlier, but yeah. I think there's a thing there where, like, I think it's where the fans will have a greater appreciation for him than everyone in the outside. Like, no, you don't. You're not watching this.
Yeah, but no, they provide moments. Of, I
think opposition fans appreciate it.
Okay, they provide moments, and they're not necessarily great from day to day. Is John Duran a cult hero at Aston Villa?
Probably some of the big goals he scored.
The first half of last season.
I don't think so. Too young.
But then the way he left.
Too young. Someone here has suggested Sylvain Wiltord, I think. That's who they're going for.
Well, Wiltord had that goal.
Is that for firm handshakes or is that for...
No, cult hero. Cult hero.
Yeah, well, that goal at Old Trafford to win them the league.
Yeah.
And he's had those moments. Yeah.
Luis García. Kieran.
Yes, brilliant. Great example. Yeah. Luis García, the Champions League, he'd score screamers for you. So who's Juventus at Anfield, I think, wasn't
it? The 08 United squad, then. Who's the cult hero from that? Like an Anderson? Or a Nanny, maybe.
No.
The Nanny's too good to be a cult.
Nanny was just annoying. Like, he was frustrating. I don't even know at that point if it was like, oh, this guy. And Anderson was really good that season.
Yeah.
He was really good against Gerrard at Anfield and Fabregas at the Emirates. So I think he probably is now.
Yeah.
Where's
Brown?
No, he's a stalwart.
Stalwart.
Different category.
Cult hero is a tough one then to...
Cult hero. I think Luis García is a perfect example.
Right, okay.
Speaking of big men handshakes, this all stems from someone meeting Arthur. I think it was probably, he's bigger in person. And generally speaking, the thing is, they're bigger.
You've loads there in the...
I'm in the actual
live doc.
They're all
laid out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Noel Hickey, that's all that Sean says. Noel Hickey. Handshake. At a function last year, and Ruby Walsh is taller than expected, and AP McCoy nearly squashed my fingers, says DK. Bobby here with a very on-brand shout. Fraser Forster, culture. Strong handshake. Met him. I was going to kick out of the players' car park at the Spurs Stadium, having blagged my way down. He looks like a bouncer, doesn't he, Fraser Forster?
He does.
Or an experienced barman. Who will show you the ropes once and once only.
Yeah. Don't ask
any more
questions.
Never ask me again.
Yeah. How do you change this kick?
Keeps his own tips.
Fucking told you already, did I? You told me you had a bad experience. I coached Jake Morris up to under 13 soccer, a slight winger. He's 6 foot unit now. Says Dennis. Woody Connor's only a slip of a lad. Well, besides Decky Dalton anyway. If you put him beside Dickie Dodd. My girlfriend's seen James Law and was surprised how tall and broad he is, says S.
I don't think the rugby players can come in.
It's the other way of rugby, isn't it?
Yeah,
if they're slight,
they have to be
surprised.
Maybe smaller.
Yeah. Ronan O'Gara in person, it's like, oh yeah, he's quite tall.
Yeah, true, yeah. But you can't tell, like, a rugby player is tall and broad, yeah. Sherlock Holmes.
This is a great show here by Colum on YouTube. Dan Byrne, both a good handshake and a cult hero. I think he could be cult hero because he's a local lad, which helps.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Who's the most talented cult hero? Like, it's tough. Like, cause, like, Robbie Fowler, cult hero at Liverpool. Yeah. No, he's a legend. Robbie Fowler,
a
legend.
Adored. Yeah.
Two people have said about, you know, Chicharito and Cavani.
Oh, Chicharito's a really good show.
And Cavani, because he was only there a short time, but fans
Cavani
thoroughly enjoyed what he did.
I think Cavani was good.
You didn't think he was good?
No, I thought he was good.
All right, Jay.
I don't know if it's called hero. He was just, I think he played really well.
I think fans will look. Yeah, maybe. Look, I don't know.
I think Luis García is such a perfect example. He gave the ball away so much, he'd be so frustrating.
Yeah.
And then he'd score the wonder half volley against Juventus, I think, in the Champions League, on their route to the title.
Half volley, you think.
And is he the guy who scored the...
Yeah.
Yeah. The ghost goal, as Mourinho called it.
Oh,
yeah. Very good shout here by James. Very, very good shout. Because I'm not sure. Makeda. Can you be a cult hero from one moment? I know he scored again for United. I think he scored against Sunderland and Chelsea or something.
Cult moment, but I don't think...
But Aston Villa...
Someone has a good shout for the Man United one. Diego Forlan.
I was...
Forlan, yeah.
Funny enough,
yeah.
I was thinking about what I was saying, but I don't know, Forlan just... I know he scored twice at Anfield against the Dudek Howlers. I don't think it worked out for Forlan at United. Because he ended up having a really good career.
Still saying his name.
Yeah, I think you're right, cult hero. Yeah. But you can't have Chicharito and Makeda in the same cult hero. You can't have them in the same category.
Well, there can be different reasons.
Yeah, but Chicharito achieved so much more at the club.
Makeda, is he cult hero? And you're basically boning it down to one moment. Yeah.
I don't think that's... No, Chicharito is a cult hero.
Ray Parler, the Romford Pelly. I think he was good. I just think he was good. 97, 98. Should have got into that England squad if he took to Eileen Drury at all. He would have.
Yeah. Yeah, history's probably served him all right on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's easier for goalkeepers as well. I see someone says Bruce Grobbelaar, Defoe, cult hero. Like, it's easy for Emi Martinez to be a cult hero because, you know, I think to be, if you're a bit eccentric, you automatically enter cult hero status. Yeah. A bit easier.
I've got a text from Keith Tracy saying he's out by the lifts and needs to be let in.
So well, there's nothing we can do about that personally. Me
well, they're in action. They sprung to action. The production box there was amazing. It was like, yeah, go get him, no problem. So he'll be in no time. Is Keith Tracy
cult hero?
Yeah. Of who?
Yeah.
Well, he's a legend of here, so this isn't cult hero for us.
No.
But if you had a big moment, well, see,
we probably should ask his buddy Keith Friday.
Yeah, we'll ask Keith Friday. Yeah. Keith Friday has a strong handshake.
I love, there's a message here from Anthony Ryan, and I don't know if he's catching up, but he's hit everything all at once. Jasper Blomqvist and Forlan, cult heroes. A volley cannot bounce. If it's hitting the ground, it's a drop volley. Denise O'Sullivan is absolutely tiny. John Hodden is smaller than you think.
Fair play. He's caught up bad.
That guy is KPIs the hit today.
Fair play, man.
And
he's
just, this is just the list.
No messing on this Friday.
That's
the
great.
The boys are asking a lot of me this morning.
Yeah, that's all you have to do this year. Adrian Barry, cult hero. That's a great shout. No, I think he's a stalwart, isn't he?
Stalwart.
He's a legend. United cult hero is John O'Shea playing in goals. That's true. Not made Figo Arsenal chip.
Yeah, that's cult hero.
Is he a legend of United?
No.
Is he not a legend?
No, well, like, why are we drawing the line? Like, is he like...
Well, he's... neither of you were there. Vinny Pert did his Irish Premier League 11.
Yeah.
And he put Roy... John O'Shea sent him in. What are you doing? Like, but he was like, look at his CV. Look at what he's won. But like, yeah, but he was... I'm not... This is brutal, but he was a part of a squad.
Yeah. He was sensational career.
Yeah.
Outrageous career.
It is, wasn't it?
But like, yeah, you're never the main man.
No. He probably borders that cult hero legend thing. He's probably just not a legend.
Border cult hero, but I don't think so. I don't. If you're saying who are the company you're putting him in with,
I'm starting a good one here.
Yeah, it's from Van. It's you put it in yourself, like. But I don't know why it just reads so funny to me. Met John Hartson in the Jacks at the Aviva. Always thought he was a big man. I towered over him. Nice fella.
If he didn't have to tower over him, that wasn't going in.
I towered over him.
Really.
Yeah, Jesus. I see it, I suppose. He carries himself. It's a compliment to his stature and how he carries himself, you know.
It is.
That we think he's bigger than he actually is.
Clinton Morrison has very soft hands, apparently. And him and Johnny Giles at one of your events.
Met him and I shook his hand. I don't know if he did.
Soft hands is different to handshake strength. We're not talking about who moisturises their hands, who doesn't. We're talking about who has a strong handshake or not.
A new category that we probably don't have time for is Hollywood actors who are supporters of Premier League sides. And Will Arnett is a big Liverpool fan.
Bullshit.
You know, well, I thought that, you know, too. So I'm interviewing John Bishop today.
Yes.
Very excited, right? Now, I'll give you the report on his handshake. They might let me shake his hands. I don't know.
Because the whole junket
thing, you get your own time. Oh, I'll go over. Like, you go in the room. And
go out of the place.
In the movie, Will Arnett wears a Liverpool vest. Liverpool FC, like a new like vest in the movie.
Right.
And... anyway, I was researching for the interview, and Will Arnett was at a Liverpool game with John Bishop last week. And what's that podcast that they do in Anfield? Is that the Anfield rap? But they literally do it in the stadium after the game. And Will Arnett's joining in the conversation.
Wow.
And he's talking about Sabitzer and...
No, and noses.
Ball, noses like. Stuff. He has Americanisms, like he calls...
penalties, PKs.
He calls, what's his face, Alisson the goaltender. And in fairness, the boys don't hesitate. Wouldn't. Like, they're like, yeah, okay, cool. No matter.
Wouldn't dare.
Goaltender.
Wouldn't dare, yeah. So, by the way, it's a movie. Will Arnett's playing John Bishop in a movie called Is This Thing On? And it's how John Bishop became a stand-up comedian. It's a wild story.
Is it literally...
It's crazy. Like,
playing John Bishop, or it's a character inspired?
Inspired by, because he doesn't attempt a Scouse accent, and it's based in America.
Yeah.
But John, the way that John... I mean, I presume a lot of people out there are aware of John Bishop. He'd be a household name.
Well-known.
A very distinctive looking guy.
Household face, handsome. For sure.
Household face.
Yeah.
Household face.
Yeah.
That's what he has. He was a really successful business person, like a really successful salesman. And he was in the middle of a separation... which is verging towards a divorce with his wife of 20 years who he had three kids with. And he was at a loose end one night and went looking for a drink. Went into this place. They were like, it's a £4 cover charge. He was like, why? It was like, open mic night. You can get in for free if you put your name down. And he was like, all right. Called up. Rest is history.
Jeez.
Never did stand up.
Funny
in his
how
life.
It works out, isn't it?
Never.
Did
anyway,
he get back with that?
And he got back with that one because his material was about his estranged wife. And then one night she's in the crowd.
Oh.
by accident. And he thinks that she's going to ball him out of it. And she's like, I love this.
Wow.
And to this day, they're still together. They're back together.
What a story.
This is 20 years ago. He was like 40 when he went full time.
Wow.
John Bishop. That'll be today.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.